God want to speak to you? You say, well, I don't think the message was for me this morning. No, the message is always for you. Always. Because the word of God does not come back void.
This is Straight Talk.
Hey, thanks for tuning in today to Straight Talk Radio. I'm Joshua Hollick, your host with Pastor Mark Jobe, senior pastor at New Life Community Church, president of Moody Bible Institute. And here at the end of the year, we wanted to just say a special thank you. There are so many of you who have been listening, praying for us, supporting this work right out of the heart of Chicago for the good of the world, for the good of our city. It's our joy to present this, and it's just been great to hear some of the stories. We want to thank you. Thank you for being a support. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sharing the app with your friends, the New Life Straight Talk app. And Pastor Mark, what would you say to people here at the end of this year?
At the end of this year, I want to say that we are super excited about what God is doing in people's lives, what God is doing in Chicagoland, and really around the world. We hear a lot of bad news, and we can get easily overwhelmed. But I want to remind you, as we approach the end of the year, hey, what a great time to revisit your priorities, to revisit your life vision statement, your mission, to recalibrate, to take some time to get quiet before the Lord with a piece of paper and say, God, what are you teaching me? What do I need to do about it? And what do I want 2019 to look like as you pray over it? Because every day is a new beginning.
Yeah, thank you for that, Pastor Mark. We want to say it's a great joy and it's an honor to bring this ministry to you. It's not a business. It doesn't make money. What it does is it brings glory to God and it impacts the kingdom of God. And we love being a part of your life. Thanks for letting us be a part of your life. If you haven't downloaded the Straight Talk app yet, it's totally free and it's a tool for you to grow in God. Go to PastorMarkJobe.com and download it today. We love you. We're praying for Chicago and we pray that this message impacts your life in a great way. God bless you.
Thank you, Josh. Hi, everyone. We continue on with Pastor Mark's message called Getting Our Priorities Straight, which is part of his brand new series called First Things First. Let's get right in. Our text will continue on in the book of Colossians. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
As you come to a worship service like this, you need to say, God, I pray that you soften my heart. That if there's anything I need to deal with that's making me not hear, that you would have me deal with it so that I can hear your word and be changed by the power of the word. You need to be doing that regularly. Some of you, basically, you just roll out of bed, barely in time. You're rushing the kids, knocking on the bathroom door saying, get out of there, what are you doing? Plastic surgery in there, just hurry up. And then you drive in the parking lot, you're driving out of control fast, you drive in the parking lot, everybody's mad at each other, you give me my Bible, you walk in the service like that, you sit down, and you expect that you're going to hear from God, your heart's all hard, your mind's all cluttered, you get here late, you don't hear the worship, and then you wonder why you're preoccupied and haven't heard anything from the Word of God, because God is saying, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart for his word. Every time you come to a place like this, every time you hear the word, listen, God wants to speak to you. You say, well, I don't think the message was for me this morning. No, the message is always for you. Always. Because the word of God does not come back void. When we open the Bible and begin to preach the word of God, it's the divinely inspired living word. When it goes out into the spiritual realm, it connects with your spirit and it brings revelation, conviction, life. The Word of God can go forward and bring healing to you. The Word of God can go forward and deposit faith in you that is what's needed for breakthroughs and miracles in your life. Do you understand that? The Word of God has transformation power if you're ready to receive it. That's why I'm so bent on preaching the Word, rightly divided every Sunday. We go right to the Bible. Why? Because I know that if I preach my opinions, you're going to get Mark's opinions. But if I preach the Word, you get divine power. Divine power. And that's why I tell you, look at it. Look it up. That's why I say, you say, well, I don't need to bring a Bible. It's on PowerPoint. I want you to look it up. I want you to see it. I want you to see the word yourself. I want you to understand it. I want you to study it. I want you to comprehend it. I want you to be saturated with the knowledge of his will. So as we open up our hearts, as we get into the word, as we pray, you begin to discover the will of God for your life. That's the first thing. Number two, if you're taking notes, write this down. Not only do you need to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, but number two, you need to start living a life that's worthy, that bears fruit. Notice what he says in verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Now here's the thing. Sometimes we begin to discover the will of God, but it's not enough to know the will of God. We also have to act in obedience to the will of God. There's a difference between being a hearer of the word and doer of the word. How many of you know that? Some of us think because we know it, we're doing it. But just because you know it doesn't mean you're practicing it. Some of you are like my son, and he was in school. My 14-year-old son, Josiah, he's got just a bent towards, he's thin as a rail, but he loves junk food. I mean, he loves junk food. And so in school, they showed him this documentary called Supersize It. Have you ever seen it? Where it's just on the evils of fast food. So he saw it. They talk about the grease and how people get sick and how bad the fries are and how greasy it is and how it's going to kill you and cholesterol. He saw it and he came back. He said, Dad, you know what it did to me? It made me hungry. Wait a second. So he knew the knowledge, but he wasn't doing anything about it. He said, it made me want to go out and go get a Big Mac. And well, hold on a second. So some of you, you know the will of God, but it's not enough to know the will of God. You have to be willing to do the will of God. Just because you know something doesn't mean that you are doing it. And here's what the word of God says. And I pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge. In other words, when you know what God wants for your life, the will of God, then it's a matter of saying, God, I want to begin to live according to your will. In my marriage, in my relationships, I want my life to be in line with your will, so therefore I will bear fruit in my life in every good work. Let me tell you this. Jesus used this imagery a lot, the imagery of fruit. I'm not a horticulturalist, so I don't know a lot about trees. If you show me a tree with no leaves and no fruit and you say, Mark, what kind of tree is that? I look at it and say, it's a wood tree. I don't know trees, so I can't distinguish one tree from another. But if you show me a tree and it's full of apples, I'm smart. I'll say it's an apple tree. You show me a tree that's full of oranges and I'll say it's a orange tree. Show me a tree that's full of pears, I will say it's a pear tree because I will know the tree by its fruit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, some will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus said, I'll look at them and I'll say, I don't know you. You know that's in the Bible? Sermon on the Mount? The some in the day will come before the Lord and they'll say, Lord, Lord. Hey, it's me. Remember me? And he'll say, don't know you. Well, come on. We did things in your name. We're in church. Remember me? I waved like this when I was worshiping. Came in, got all dressed up to go to church. No, doesn't ring a bell. And then he says, you will know them by their... Come on, say it out loud. You'll know them by their fruit. Jesus said, you distinguish the true from the false by their fruit. Now stay with me. Someone says to me, hey, Is that person right there sitting on the seventh row over there, are they a believer, a follower of Jesus? I'll look at them and say, well, I don't know. Now, if I look at someone and they have no fruit, and you say, well, I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old, prayed a prayer, walked an aisle, got baptized, but there's no fruit in your life. There's no fruit of change, fruit of transformation, no fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is the fruit of the Spirit. If there's no fruit in your life, then you should be worried. Because if your life has no fruit, then I'm not sure if you're in or if you're out. Now you show me a person and say, what about that person over there? And their life has love and joy and peace and gentleness, and they've changed the way they talked and they changed the way they walk, and they're living different, and their relationships are different, and they're praying different, and their lifestyle has changed. I look at their life and I say, I see fruit. I think they're really part of the kingdom of God because I see fruit on their life that evidences that they're a follower of Jesus Christ. By their fruit, we will know them. If you have no fruit in your life, there's question marks that come up about the authenticity of your relationship with God. Now, I'm not here to judge anybody because I don't see your heart. But if I were a person that had no fruit, I would be worried and asking God, am I really part of the vine? Because when you're really part of the vine, you're going to demonstrate fruit. Now, here's the thing. If you're really part of the vine and there's very little fruit, God's going to prune you. How many of you know pruning is painful? Painful. He's got to cut things out. Dead weight. I had some rose bushes in front of my house before. And every year I would prune them. And that means that the dead stuff, I would cut off the ends. Why? So that they would grow better the next time around. And sometimes God does that. He cuts off the dead weight that's keeping us from growing, if you're a child or a believer of God. And so he says, you will know them by their fruit. And he says that you grow in the knowledge of God in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, living a life worthy of God. Here's the other thing I want to make mention of. Oftentimes I run into people that think that God is a killjoy. And I say, are you going to follow God? Well, I'm not ready to follow God. I'm waiting till I get older.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Getting Our Priorities Straight, which is from our brand new series called First Things First. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this broadcast and give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and his message called Getting Your Priorities Straight.
Why? Hey, I'm only 25, man. I got a lot of living to do. By living, they mean partying. I got a lot of partying to do. And if I give my life to God, he's going to take all the fun things out of life. Okay, well, tell me what that looks like. Well, I'm only 25 years old. If I give my life to God, I won't be able to have sex on the weekends like I'm used to doing. I won't be able to get high and drunk. I will have to start studying. I can't cheat on my college test, man. I don't want to go there because it'll limit my joy. Here's the thing. I believe that when we please God and live for God, for not for ourselves, but when we live for God, the byproduct is that we become the most satisfied people on the face of this earth. I like the way John Piper puts it. The more God is glorified through us, the more we are satisfied in him. Some people think that living for God is going to take all the joy out, but what they don't realize is that when you really begin to pursue God and live for God, the byproduct is your own satisfaction and fullness. And the people that say, well, I'm going to be a hedonist is someone that is the unabashed pursuit of pleasure. Right now, if I were to ask you what's the goal in your life, if your goal in life is to be happy for your own personal happiness, then I'm going to tell you, you're going to end up in a wrong place. Hedonism is just, I want to live for pleasure and happiness. Whatever makes me happy, it feels good, do it. That's a bad philosophy to live by. Some people bashing someone in the face feels good. Some people cheating, having an affair with a married woman, that feels good. Some people getting high on the weekends and snorting a line of cocaine, that feels good. Other people gossiping about your coworker and see them shrivel up under criticism, that feels good. But let me tell you, ultimately, when you just pursue your own happiness without pursuing something that's bigger than you. People that pursue their own happiness, listen, when their ultimate goal in life is to be their own happiness, they'll step on people, use people, trash people. They'll walk over people. They don't care about anybody but themselves. Ultimately, they become the most miserable people on the face of this earth. But the people that say, God, I'm going to pursue you and your will for my life, even though in the beginning it may seem like it's hard. Some of you come to Christ and you know what? You came to Christ and the weekends are the toughest because before in the weekends you knew what to do. Now as a Christian, you're sitting there wiggling your fingers around saying, I don't know what to do with my weekend. Before I knew where to go, what to do, I knew what to do, and now I'm like, oh, weekend, okay, what do I do with my weekend? It's Friday night, and those urges start bubbling up inside of you. You see all your friends going to the same place, and you have to break out of the system that you used to be in because you have this mentality. You got to break out of that system. And God's got to teach you a new way, a different way, to find your fullness and happiness. And the Bible says, the Bible declares to us that as we grow in the knowledge of His will, then we'll become fruitful in every good work. Third thing I want to give to you here. We're talking about how to continue to grow. The third thing is this. You will need to be empowered to reach a level of endurance and patience joyfully. Look what it says in verse 11. Being strengthened with all power, I love this, according to His glorious might, according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. The third thing you need in your life is you need supernatural power to be able to endure and have patience. See, one of the hardest things in life is to be able to do the right thing and keep doing it even when it's hard to do. Let me tell you something. You cannot live the Christian life in your own power. It's not a self-improvement program. You need the supernatural, divine touch of God to give you power to do things that you can't do in your own strength. Some of you come to me and you say, well, Pastor, you know, I've been trying to kick this habit for years. I just can't do it. Let me tell you, you can't. You need God's supernatural power to do what you can't do. And you tell me, Pastor, you know, I've been trying to forgive my brother for years, but we've had such a bad relationship. He's done so many things to me. I try to forgive him. I say, oh, I want to forgive him. I want to forgive him. And I can't. You know what? You can't. You need something that comes from God's supernatural divine power. Something that is not of you. Something that is bigger than you. Something that is formed in the throne of God, in the throne room of God. It's called the dunamis of God. The supernatural power of God to do in your life what you cannot do in your own natural power. It's the power of God in your life. Some of you say, well, you know what, I want to begin to change my attitude, but I've had this temper all my life, and it flares up, and I can't control it, and I've tried to count to 10, and I've tried all this methodology, and I blow up, and I hurt everybody around me, and I've tried and tried to change it, and I can't. And you know what? You cannot. Without the touch of God. And that's exactly what Christianity is. It's you admitting your inability to change yourself and yielding to the supernatural lordship of Jesus Christ and saying, I can't, but I know that you in me, I can. By your power, God. So come, power of God. Come upon me, supernatural power of God. For God hath not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God can do things in your life that you could never do on your own. God is stronger than you, more powerful than you. Some of you need to stop trying and you need to start yielding to God and saying, God, I need your supernatural. I admit that I can't, and that's why I need your supernatural power to do what I cannot in me do. And power for what? Power for endurance and patience. Endurance has to do with circumstances. Patience has to do with attitudes towards people. You need endurance and patience. They all require long suffering. Let me tell you, you want to be mature? Some people say, I want to really, really grow in my walk with God. Okay, you want to be mature? Then expect that you're going to go through some difficult times. Well, you just want maturity handed to you? Oh, pastor, I really want to become mature. Okay, all right. Then you come to me and say, I don't know why I'm going through this trial. Well, you prayed for maturity. You don't become mature without a trial. You become mature with a trial. It's trials that mature you. It's the testing of your faith that matures you. It's a difficult circumstance where you don't lose hope that matures you. It's where your faith is being stretched that matures you. And you don't mature without endurance and patience. James chapter 1 tells us, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into trials of various kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance produces maturity that you don't repent of, maturity that causes you to change. You have to go through trials, and here's the thing. Some of us go through trials. You say, well, I've been through a lot of trials in life, but some of us go through trials and we never mature. Just because you've been through a lot of trials doesn't mean you're mature. You say, well, I got 150 trials. Yeah, okay, no, I know. It's not the trial. It's how you went through the trial that matures you. And here's the worst thing that could happen to your maturity is as soon as you go through the trial, you take the easy way out of the trial. You will never mature that way. It's like preparing for a marathon. Someone says, how long have you been training for the marathon? Oh, 9 months. Tell me about your training. Well, I start running, I get a half a mile into it, and I stop. And the next day I start running, I get a half a mile into it, I'm tired, I stop. So how far have you run ever? Just a half a mile? Let me tell you, you've been training for 9 months, but you're not ready for a marathon because you keep quitting. That doesn't develop endurance. Endurance is when it's hard, I keep doing what I know is right to do, regardless of how hard it is. I show up at my job and it's tough and there's a critical spirit there, and I show up and say, I'm not going to be sucked into this critical spirit, and I'm going to show up on Monday and keep my joy and keep my right attitude, and I'm going to do it on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday, and I'm going to thank God that when Friday comes that I don't have to go there on Saturday. But you know what? I'm going to keep doing what's right regardless of how hard it is. That's endurance, that's perseverance, that's patience towards people. That creates maturity in my life because I don't do what feels easiest. I do what's right in my life regardless of how hard it is. That is maturity. Immaturity is when someone wakes up, it's like your little kid. He wakes up and says, I don't want to go to school today. You say, you got to go to school. I don't feel like it. Got to go anyways. We teach our kids maturity, but when it comes to our spiritual life, oftentimes we miss the mark because we're spiritually immature. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I want you to ask for supernatural power to keep loving the person that's hard to love, to keep doing the thing that's hard to do, even though it's right to do. I want you to ask for that. And lastly, the Apostle Paul ends with this, and I close with this. He says, lastly, and some of you are saying, okay, I think I can do that, but I'm going to show up to my job, and I'm just going to grit my teeth, and I'm going to show up, and there's a bad environment, and there's critical people, and I'm just going to show up like this, enduring it. And people say, what's wrong with them? Are they constipated? No, they're just a Christian. They're just a Christian. I run into Christians like that. It seems like they're a Christian, but they drink lemon juice in the morning. How you doing? I say, how you doing? Just bearing my cross.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe of New Life Community Church in Chicago, and this was the second half of his message called Getting Your Priorities Straight. It's part of our series called First Things First. Please do join us again on the next Straight Talk as we get into part two, Mixed Up Christianity. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk Radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.